Thank you, Rodney, for leading us, Katie, for playing for us, and congregation for singing so well this morning. I invite you this morning to turn to Luke chapter 5 as we consider a text this morning that is quite appropriate for celebrating the Lord's table together in a moment. Appropriate for the believer. It's also appropriate for the unbeliever, not for the Lord's table, to see your need for Christ and forgiveness that is in Him and Him alone. In Luke 5, we have this familiar story of Jesus, a leper, and also what may go under the radar, the law that we see in this text. We'll be looking at five verses in Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. We'll really be focusing on 12, 13, and 14 this morning by way of exposition. I think you all would all agree that we have just come through the longest 15 or 16 months in Western culture and the entire world that we've ever been through in our lifetimes. This pandemic, COVID-19, all the different names that it was given that led to all sorts of different responses and all different things that needed to be done over the course of this time. A devastating, ravaging disease around the world. We cannot argue that. Thousands, hundreds of thousands lost their lives. I pray that we're not only seeing light at the end of the tunnel, I pray we're at the end of the tunnel and coming out of it. Regardless of how things might have been handled along the way, we may not know the effects of COVID-19 for many years to come, economically, socially, the impact it's had on our country and the world. However, we encounter a disease today that, although while it's curable in our culture, was the most devastating diseases of all in the first century church. And even in all the way into the Old Testament, there were specific laws in both the ceremonial and the civil law given to Israel concerning this disease, leprosy. It was awful in its description, as we'll see in a moment. And in our story this morning, Jesus encounters a man, or we might say this leper encounters Jesus, as he's making his way across Galilee. How would Jesus react when this man breaks the law? How would Jesus react when this man comes to him as the only source left of hope for him? Would he respond according to the letter of the law? Would Jesus respond according to the spirit of the law? Well, let's see in this narrative how Jesus responds to this leper and to the law in these verses. There are two characters in this narrative, the leper and Jesus. We read of the crowds later on that continue to gather around him and the reason that he would need to withdraw to desolate places to pray. We'll see why that was the occasion in a moment. But I want us to see, just focus on these two men. First, the confidence that we see in the leper. First of all, this man understood his need. Remember, Luke's a doctor, and Luke describes this man as being full of leprosy. This would lead us to believe that perhaps he was not only quarantined in his home according to the law that was to take place, but may have even been put out into one of the leper colonies outside the camp to protect others as well. And again, leprosy was one of the worst diseases imaginable, really throughout the entire of the scripture that we have, from Genesis to Revelation. In 2 Kings 5, we read of Naaman's leprosy. And Luke has already told us in chapter 4, verse 27, that none of those in Naaman's day were cleansed except for him. It was basically an incurable disease, even in its lesser forms that we find in 2 Kings 5 with Elisha's servant Gehazi, who was disobedient, and his descendants became stricken with leprosy as well. Leprosy was so severe that the rabbis said it was easier to raise a dead man than to heal a leper. The difficulty in cleansing or healing a leper was attributed to the nature of the disease. We often look at the disease as being just a skin disease. And it is that, but it was so much more. It really was a disease of the neurological system. It attacks the nerves. So that a person with leprosy, before those sores or boils were even exposed outside of their body, already was being stricken miserably, horribly from within. In other words, their nervous system had become numb to what was really happening to their system. And over time, step on a nail or cut yourself shaving or whatever the case may be, without realizing it, not even knowing that you had done so, this opening would begin to fester and become infected. And it was just a horrible, horrid stench that surrounded the leper. Some even lost their limbs because of this disease. Many lost their lives. Derek Thomas remarked that the Old Testament had a rather primitive approach in treating this disease. He called it barrier medicine. And that's really a good way to put it. Leviticus 13 and 14, as I mentioned earlier, under the Old Covenant, had all kinds of rules and regulations concerning leprosy. Two entire chapters just in Leviticus. Because of the high rate of this contagion and how easily it could pass from one person to another, a leper's clothes were considered infectious. The walls of their homes were considered contaminated. All these things under the law. So that a leper, once diagnosed, at a minimum, was quarantined. Now, we're much more familiar with what that means over the last 15 or 16 months, aren't we? Some people are still being quarantined in other parts of the world today. They were shut off from society. Entire colonies were constructed for these people to go where they were outside the camp. If they were to make their way into town, the social construct here, just capture this. They had to literally cover their heads, walk with their heads down, and cry, unclean, unclean, not just twice, all the way through. They had to announce, I'm a leper. Get away. Don't touch me and don't let me touch you. But those regulations, as strict as they were not for the leper. They offered no cure. They could do nothing for the leper himself. Those rules, those regulations, were to protect others. And that's the spirit of the law. In fact, not being for the leper and for others shows us that Moses and the law could not help this man. He was helpless according to the law. Jeff Thomas said it could tell him that leprosy was bad. It could tell him where he had to live, how he had to dress, what he had to shout, but it could not cure him. He could make every sacrifice in the book of Leviticus, Thomas said, but he would still be a leper. There was nothing in the Old Testament that could heal him. Not even a top doctor in Jerusalem could prescribe anything to make him better. Leprosy was everywhere, but a cure was nowhere. That's how awful this disease was. So we see leprosy led to being totally ostracized. At best, quarantined to your own home, at worst, outside the camp, put outside the city with those who were in misery just as he was. This man was helpless, but he was not hopeless. He'd heard about this man named Jesus along the way, how he was healing the multitudes, all who were brought to him, demons cast out, illnesses cured. We have every indication in Scripture that Jesus healed every single one of them. This man, somewhere along the way, even in the quarantine of his own home or in the leper colony, had heard of Jesus. And notice what he does. His actions speak volumes. In one verse, verse 12, we see this man completely throws himself at Jesus, literally. His actions show that he believed, at a minimum, that his only hope was Jesus, but probably that he knew that Jesus was the only one that could heal him. First, notice, the leper did not wait for Jesus to make his way out to the colony. In fact, Jesus probably would not have gone out to the colony if that's where he was. He doesn't wait for him to come to the colony, or if he's in quarantine in his own home, he doesn't wait for Jesus to come to him. Again, he heard about Jesus was going through the land, healing all through Capernaum and across Galilee. Luke says the man saw Jesus. Mark gives us a little more detail. In seeing him, Mark tells us he came to Jesus. He didn't wait for Jesus to come to him. Now, picture what this entailed. Again, according to the law, the leper left his home or the colony, agonizingly travels across the center of the town, screaming, "Unclean! Unclean!" as he works his way through the crowds that would have surrounded Jesus. He unashamedly comes to Jesus, open sores, stench, everything associated with leprosy. He broke the laws, he broke the customs of the day, just so that he might be cleansed. He invaded Jesus' space. You know, one of the things we try to teach children that we come into foster care, all children typically don't know the boundaries, right? And so you have to teach children, don't invade people's space. Or we put it, don't get in their face. This man didn't care. He invades Jesus' territory. He was not concerned about what the law taught because the law couldn't heal him. He wasn't concerned about what other people thought because they could do him no good. But Jesus could. Notice then the earnestness in which he came. Luke tells us he fell on his face and begged him. He literally throws himself at Jesus' feet with this urgent, desperate plea. Begging shows that he understands he's helpless in any way concerning his disease. And he had confidence, a belief that Jesus could heal him. We go to the doctor and we expect to get a diagnosis. You're sick, and here's what will fix you, right? This man came to the doctor, the great physician, the only one who could remedy him of this horrid stench and illness. And then notice his posture. The words here translated could literally be he buried his face in the ground. In other words, he assumed the position of a beggar. He didn't look into the eyes of Jesus. By his burying himself in the ground or burying his face in his hands, we see a humility that submits to the absolute sovereignty and authority of Jesus. The leper would not ever kneel before another leper, but it was certainly most appropriate for this man to kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He certainly didn't know all there was to know about Jesus, but he knew enough to believe that Jesus could heal him. And he trusted that Jesus would do what he'd done for others along the way. Then the leper speaks. And his request shows he's not simply some crazed maniac like some of the others in the crowd might have been. He was desperate, but he wasn't crazy. His words show he understood probably a little bit more than some of the others in the crowds understood. They were bringing their sick. They were bringing their demon-possessed to Jesus, not because of who Jesus was, but because of what he could do for them. Now hold on to that. Because we see this over and over again, not just in the Gospels, and not just in the early church, but in the history of the church, even up until today. People who come to Jesus don't really come to him. They come to what he can do for them. They saw that Jesus was healing everyone, no questions asked. And so they were bringing them all to him because of what he could do. But rather than notice the heart of the healer, they simply took him for granted, seeking physical healing and not truly understanding his message or their deepest need. This man shows us something a little different. Lord, now first of all, remember a few weeks back in the story in the boat where Peter begins with one word for master or Lord, and he ends up with Kyrie, Lord, master, the one that we would consider to be the sovereign Lord. That's the word that this man uses, Kyrie in the Greek. In other words, he's submitting to the authority and the sovereignty of Jesus on this occasion. Lord, if you will, he says, you can make me clean. Now, this shows his humility and his submission to the sovereignty of Jesus. In other words, you're in control here. I know you can. That's not a question. The question is, will you? Unlike the man that I brought up in Mark 9 a few weeks ago, where I said that a lot of us live our lives where this man comes to a point of saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, because this man approached Jesus, if you can. And Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? That's not the case with this leper. I know you can, he says. The question for him was, will you? Quite different than the man in Mark chapter 9. A total submission the leper had to the sovereignty of Jesus. He says, you can make me clean. So the question was not whether he was able, but whether he was willing. Not could Jesus, but would he on that occasion? So we see this man, just awful condition, with no regard to anything around him other than his need and the only one that can meet his need. Friends, may I suggest to you that when we see this in a spiritual light, as we'll close with in a moment, we clearly see that this leprosy is associated with our sin. And when we see our sin as being nothing can be done about it, when we come to this table in a moment, we are submitting to the truth and our belief that Christ alone is sovereign and authoritative and all-powerful in cleansing us of our leprosy, of our sin. And once we come to Jesus Christ and submit to Him in repentance and faith, we are immediately healed. Guilt is removed. Shame ought to be gone. Just like this physical representation of this man's leprosy. So we see this man, the confidence that he had in coming to Jesus. But notice the compassion that Jesus has in his response. Given the apparent audacity of this man, one might expect that Jesus would have rebuked him. The priests and the rabbis of Jesus' day probably would have looked at the man and said, you're a lawbreaker, and sent him back to the leper colony, if not, had him put to death. How would Jesus respond in the face of this intrusion, this man breaking the law on this occasion? Well, the first thing we see is Jesus' power in verse 13. Jesus stretched out his hand, don't miss this, and touched him. Jesus doesn't say, okay, now we got this law thing, right? And I'm the only way this can be spread is if I come into contact with you. It's not an airborne disease like COVID is. So you need to stay over there, and I'll stay over here, and I'm going to heal you, but I'm going to do it this way. No. He touched him. Saved. Responding. I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Instant healing. Just like we saw with Simon Peter's mother-in-law in that story. Fever left her immediately. The cleansing was total and complete. There was absolutely no residual effect of this man's leprosy. Not even so much as a pimple was left on his skin. I will shows that this man was an act of Jesus' own volition based on deep compassion. We draw that from Mark, who told us that Jesus was moved with compassion on this occasion. That Greek word, compassion in the Greek, denotes an inward agitation, a welling up inside. In other words, at the very depths of his being, there was something that moved Jesus almost to a hatred, if you will. Not of the man, but of the disease, you see. Jesus, in early manuscripts, it actually reads, was angry. Again, not with the man, but with his condition, his misery. He had pity on this pitiful man. But Jesus did not keep that welling up emotion inside. He stretched out his hand and touched him. He touched an unclean leper. Jesus broke the law! I mean, it's clear in Leviticus 13 and 14 in the ceremonial law and then in the civil laws that are related to this. You don't come into contact with a leper. So at a minimum, Jesus at that moment should have been quarantined, gone home, secluded, put out. But we don't see that, do we? Imagine, though, what this must have felt like to this man. Jesus touched a man that had not been touched for who knows how long. If he has a wife, there'd been no kissing or embracing. If he has children, there were no hugs from the 2 and 3 year olds just learning to walk, running up and throwing their arms around him. None of that. And yet, in a millisecond, Jesus touches him. He who had not been touched for perhaps years. There'd not even been a handshake from friends, a pat on the back from a boss at work. None of that. Jesus touches him. We read. This man would never forget that touch, would he? He, as we will see in a moment, didn't totally understand what that touch meant. But we who have been touched, let's say we who have been forgiven by the blood of Christ ought not to forget. And yet, in a moment, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper given to us so that we what? Remember what we often forget. The touch of Christ. The healing of His blood. The forgiveness full and free that we receive from Him. From Jesus' perspective, in touching him, he wanted the leper to know he was willing to heal him. He demonstrated that by his action. And so he says, be clean. And immediately, the leper was cleansed. But then notice his warning. His cleansing came with a stern warning. And there's a demand here that was twofold. First, Jesus told the leper, We can't. He was now already cleansed. Don't forget this. He was clean. He tells the leper not to tell anyone. Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you had this debilitating disease, you hadn't had hugs from children, embraces from a wife, pats on the back from a boss, handshakes from your friends, you had not been in contact social with the community for who knows how long. I mean, we had, what, 8 months, 9 months? We might, and we were, this man, he would want to tell everyone. Who wouldn't? And even he wouldn't have to tell because the stench was gone and the skin was healed. Yet Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Now we know, we've seen this in the past, is because people were not ready yet for the full implications of who Jesus is. He told the demons to be quiet. He told those that he healed along the way, don't tell anyone. Because they weren't ready for him. Instead, he says, go to the priests and show yourself to the priests. Now, this brings us back to Leviticus 13 and 14. 14 in particular, where there was a sacrifice that was to be given. This man was to go out, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was leaves on a tree or birds from whatever the case may be. And he was to take these things to the priest. And there were these series of offerings. It wasn't just one. It was a sin offering and a guilt offering and all these different things that the offering was to be made. But catch this. In Leviticus 13 and 14, in order to be cleansed. In other words, the cleansing when the leper came to the priest had not happened yet. It was part of the cleansing, the sacrifice for the sin, the sacrifice for the guilt, all of these offerings. And once those offerings were complete, then he was cleansed. Jesus says, don't go tell anybody, but go to the priest already clean. And here's where we see the fullness then of his, go show them in accordance to what Moses commanded for a proof to who? The priests. The moment that man walked in clean, the priest would have had to scratch his head and think, how did this happen? I mean, this is an incurable disease. The only way that a disease could be healed is to take these precautions along the way, and then there was to be the sprinkling of the blood for the sin offering and the guilt offering, all these things, and none of that had taken place, and he's walking in totally healed. He wasn't coming to offer sacrifice. He was coming to show the priest the sacrifice that had already been made. You see where this is going, right? He'd been touched by Jesus. The same is true for us. We don't need to go to a confession in a booth with a priest on this earth. If we've been touched by the high priest, we're cleansed already. This man was clean physically. And he wanted him to go show the priest that he was fulfilling the law. Jesus was fulfilling the law. This man was fulfilling the law. In other words, it was the spirit of the law. The law was given to protect others. This man healed him already, so he had no need. He'd been set free from what? The bondage of the law. How was he set free from the bondage of the law? The touch of Christ. So we see Jesus sends him away on this occasion. We know from Mark that unfortunately the man disobeyed Jesus' command. In fact, we have no evidence that he ever went to the priests. Jesus says, don't go tell anybody. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, Mark tells us he went and told everybody, and that's why we read in Luke, the crowds continued to come in around him, and we have no evidence he ever went to the priest. So that lets us know that this man's response to Jesus likely was like some who come to Jesus today. They come only insofar as their need, their hurts, their emotions. And once they feel they're healed of those things, they give no thought of Jesus after that. They don't seek to obey Him. They no longer seek to submit. They've already got what they wanted. And off they go. That could be what happens with this man. We don't know the rest of the story. I said in opening that this was a most appropriate text for the Lord's table. Let me approach it by way of application with four or five things before we partake of the table together in a moment. First, we need to see, as we have, leprosy and sin. The spiritual picture that's given. Much like leprosy, that was a disease of the nervous system. The body would be numbed to what was going on outside of their body. The same is true for sin. Sin is always present in us. It's always, in fact, it's interesting, it's called the flesh for the believer. And there's this battle that goes on. If you're a believer, between spirit and the flesh. The problem is our flesh, spiritually, just like the physical numbness of the flesh of a leper, our spiritual flesh becomes numb to sin. Until it exposes itself, sometimes we don't even know it's there, no matter how heinous the intent of the heart might be. Now, when it exposes itself, then we know, right? Just like the boils and the stitch and the sores that would open up on a leper's skin. It's always there. But we don't know it until the Spirit touches it. And then we know. You ever poured alcohol on an open wound? Stings, doesn't it? When the Spirit touches a sinful heart, when a spirit comes into an attack on the flesh, it should hurt. But not only do we see the numbness of sin associated with leprosy, this eating of the flesh until it's touched by the Spirit, sin also separates us from others, just like leprosy did this man. The physical leper had to be quarantined, separated, put outside the camp, to use biblical language. Sin does the same thing. We may not realize that sin separates us from others in the body of Christ and other on this earth and Jesus Himself. But that's what sin does. Left to itself, sin is outside the camp. They're not part of the body of Christ until there's confession made for that sin, repentance and receiving Christ, which is the picture that we have at the Lord's table. So this leprosy, this disease, physically is a spiritual picture of sin in our lives. The second thing I would have to draw our attention to is the leper and the law. The leper and the law. Again, in Leviticus 13 and 14, there were these series of things that had to take place, the sacrifices for this man to be truly cleansed by the priest. We read in Hebrews that once for all sacrifice for sin and for guilt has already been made for us. This man would have to travel across town with guilt and shame on his back because of his leprosy. The sinner has to populate this planet with sin and the guilt and the shame that's associated with sin. That comes from the garden. What is the first thing that Adam and Eve tried to do when they sinned? They tried to quarantine themselves. They tried to hide themselves. They tried to disassociate themselves from the God who created them, and even though there was no one else on the planet, we do the same thing, do we not? We react the total opposite of what God created us for. Our sin, because of guilt and the shame that still is attached to it, that need not be there, if we truly are in Christ, we try to hide it. Rather than go to Christ and confess our sin rather than to go to brothers and sisters in Christ who are sinners just like we are. It ought to be easy and have them pray for us to hold us accountable. If we're truly pursuing holiness, why wouldn't we go to others and say, I've got this sin in my life. Would you ask me when you see me, how are you doing with this? How are you doing with that? Rather than that, what do we try to do? We try to quarantine ourselves. We see in Christ, we're set free from all of that. The guilt, the shame in Him. So rather than quarantine ourselves, we ought to flee to the body of Christ. Shane taught on Wednesday night, Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens. We don't hide our burdens. And by the way, one of your burdens is sin in your life. We often look at burdens as difficulties in life, and that certainly includes that, the circumstances of life. And so, but what about sin? We talked about that in the sermon a few weeks ago, the burden of sin in Pilgrim's Progress and that heavy burden that was on Christian's back until what? He repented and confessed his sin. Third, we see the leper and others, and we've already addressed that, how the sin and the shame that was his ought not to have been his if he would truly understand the total healing that he had in Christ. Guys, listen. Every person here came to church today a sinner. And every person here is going to leave today a sinner. Let's just get that off the table, right? Why can't we discuss our sin? When we come to this table, we're told to confess. We're also told to go to brothers and sisters in Christ. If there be any friction, if there be anything that causes division, the only thing that would be is sin. Let us be better with this. Then we see the leper and Jesus. The leper comes to Jesus. And the same is true for us. In our sin, we're promised. It was read earlier in our confession. If we come and confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin, or forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now here's what's interesting about that. That's already done. You're not going to get any cleaner. You're not going to get any more forgiven than you are as a sinner sitting in this pew today in heaven. From God's perspective, you've already been declared not guilty. That's what justification is. That's why there should be no longer any guilt or shame, because Christ is the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied God's wrath for us. So we need not have this guilt and the shame, the penalty that's associated with our sin. We're not going to get any more cleansed from God's perspective than we are already. Now, I'm not preaching instant sanctification, so hold on. Why then should we confess our sin? That's for us to remember the forgiveness that is ours already in Christ. When we sin, we ought to go to Christ and confess, admit, I sinned against you. And it brings us back to the cross and the blood that's already been shed for us and the declaration that's already been made for us. That's what we remember at the table. We are declared not guilty. So the cleansing, the reason that we keep on repenting, is for us to remember we're sinners. But we're sinners saved by grace. Amen? And then the last thing that I would have us understand is we need to remember that when Jesus is on this earth, we're in an in-between time between the Old and the New Covenants. And for a time, Jesus tells, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell. In fact, even up until the time of His ascension, He's still telling the apostles after His resurrection, don't go, don't go, don't go. You stay in Jerusalem. But then in Acts 1:8, everything changes. They were to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now it was time to tell everybody. Why? Because everything had been accomplished. Unlike what Jesus told the leper when he had been healed of his issue, the moment we're healed of our sin, the moment we're forgiven, we are commanded, go, tell, plant the seed, water the seed, pray over it, spread the gospel to every creature that you come into contact with. Not just in action, but in proclamation. We are to speak the truth of the gospel, holding nothing back. Again, it's interesting that those who have received the most, we beggars, often want to keep it to ourselves. Where we need to be like Richard Baxter and be reminded that we are to be beggars pointing other beggars to what? Bread. Life. Christ. And so this morning as we come together and celebrate at the Lord's table, may we be reminded not just of the horrible stench of leprosy, but may we be reminded of the horrible stench of our sin in the nostrils of God who created us, in Christ who died for us, if we come to Him by faith. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, continuing to draw upon His goodness towards you, His benevolence towards you, with no thought whatsoever that you're created in His image and under the wrath that awaits you. Dear friends, confess your sin. Receive the full forgiveness, and you will immediately be healed. Not potentially healed. When Jesus touches you, you're healed. That's what true forgiveness is about. And if we've been forgiven this morning, may we live not according to guilt, not according to shame, but in the freedom that we have. That we're no longer under sin, we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. That's Christ. And that's what we celebrate this morning. Let's pray.